I read something just last night that really I liked, and I'll stop now. I looked Betty up, and I even told her. You know, he said, when he meets an atheist, he said, my first thought is I want to prepare a big fancy dinner with everything fixed for that atheist and invite him to eat supper with me. And then when he's eaten and enjoyed his meal and everything, he said, I want to look at that atheist and say, do you believe there was a cook? How can that meal be prepared without a cook? And how can this world be prepared without a creator? You know, I thought he was a pretty smart man when he made that statement. Today, though, we want to talk about, are we willing to listen to wise counsel? You know, I think about that, and whew, sometimes I want to take things in my own hands when I shouldn't. 1 Samuel chapter 25, we're going to read this text that promotes this lesson. And it's quite lengthy too, but that's okay. We'll begin reading 1 Samuel chapter 25 and 1 through 3, and then we'll read 10 through 14. But let's begin with verse 1. And Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel, and the man was very great. He had 3,000 sheep, 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. And David sends his guys, you know, they've been running and haven't had food, so he sends some of his men to talk to Nabal, and he says, hey, you know, we've taken care of you, we've protected you, we've done all these things to help you, and now my man's hungry. How about giving him something to eat? And in verse 10, Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? Now, you know, that's kind of an insult. Who is David? He knew who David was. He was just being obnoxious. He was being, let me say the word, snotty. Now, maybe some of you guys don't know that word, but, you know, he said, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? He knew those answers. There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my sharers and give them to man whom I know not whence they are? So David's young man turned away and went again and came and told him all these sayings. And David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And they went up after David, about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's old, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. Now, why did Nabal do what he done? Okay, Nabal's man saw the mistake that Nabal was making. And he goes and tells Abigail, Nabal's wife. And she gets out and she prepares. She knows that her husband's made a mistake. And she's trying to correct it. And we'll read about that in a minute. Well, let's look at verse 18. Abigail made haste. You know, it says made haste. She was a wise woman. She knew David, and she knew enough about him, and she knew that he was, we'll get to that too in a little bit. She knew that she needed to do this with haste, or it was going to be too late. So it says she made haste, and a couple of times later, she ran. She didn't just walk over, but she ran. She made haste, and she took 200 loaves, 2 bottles of wine, and 5 sheep already dressed,
and measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, go on before me. Behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. She knew that he would be upset about it because he was churlish. Now I may have said that word wrong, but you can check it out later. And it was so, as she rode her ass, and she came down to the covert of the hill, and behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. And David said, surely in vain I have kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him, and he hath required me evil for good. David was ready to kill them all, because he had not been treated with the respect that he deserved. And he did deserve better than what Nabal gave him. He deserved better than that. And the guy was just obnoxious, curt. Look at verse 23. When Abigail saw David, she hasted. She lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, she took the blame. You know, that was one thing I respected about her. She didn't go to David and say, hey, you know, look, I did this and this. And he's the one that did it. She went and looked at this. Unto my Lord, verse 24, and fell at his feet and said unto me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. And let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience. And hear the words of thy handmaid. She accepted the blame. And you know, that's something we don't like to do. I don't like to accept the blame for someone else. Yeah, it takes a special kind of lady or a man to do that. Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. And I, thine handmaid, saw not the young man of my Lord when whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, let not now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. You know, she knew what David could have done, but also the Bible teaches we don't need to repay the evil that's done to us. God is watching out over us, and he's going to take care of these things for us. 27. Now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought, the blessing, all the stuff that she prepared. Verse 28, I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. 29, yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God, and the souls of thine enemy. Them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no cause of grief to thee, nor offense to thine heart, either that thou hast shed blood causeless. So we need there's going to be a bunch of times that people's going to pick on, and really that's right to do it. David was offended by the way Nabal was treating him, and David had a right to do what he did, but he used wisdom, and he listened to Abigail. Now, there's three ways that we can do it. We can return evil for good. We can return evil for good. That's devilish. It's nasty. It's cruel. We can return evil for evil. That's human. That's what most of us like to do. I say most of us. I'll include myself. In fact, I'll say it this way. Most of us. I'm most because I'm taller than you guys are. So if none of you fit that category, fine. Then we can return good for evil. That's divine. This is God's desire for us to do. Evil for good, evil for evil, or good for evil. Christians are not to return evil for evil. Sometimes we like to feel we have to get even with people, though. And speaking about getting evil, a woman got sick. Okay, first, let me say, this is not a true life example, I hope. But let me share it with you anyhow. A woman got sick. She went to the doctor. Doctor examined her. And he come out and he had a very strange look on his face. She said, "What's the matter, doc?" She said, "Well, I hate to tell you this, but he got to rest." She took her notebook out of her purse and she started writing. And he said, "What are you doing, writing your will?" She said, "No, I'm writing the names of the people I want to go bite." That's called getting even, isn't it? That's the nature of most of us. We like to get even. But it says in 1 Peter 3:12, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." God's watching over us. We don't have to go bite those that we want to get even with. Everybody wants to give us advice, though. Everybody has a book they want to sell, some CD we need to listen to. But whom should we listen to? The Bible. Where can we find why? The Bible. I'm not going to take time to look them up because let me just read them to you. Proverbs 13:20. "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. The companion of fools shall be destroyed." Proverbs 19:21. "Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." 2 Timothy 3:16. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." James 1:5, "If any lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it shall be given him." We need to get our counsel from the Lord. James 3:17, "The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruit, and impartial and sincere." Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in a multitude of counselors there is safety. Proverbs 15:22, "Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in a multitude of counselors they are established." Proverbs 24:6, "For by wise counsel thou shalt make war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety." Now, people that haven't listened to good counsel, Lot didn't. And you know what he got into. David did. Nabal here is kneeling, or he's provoking David. And the provocation really is what we're talking about there. Nabal is a perfect specimen of someone who's unfriendly, unkind to the point of nastiness, and for no reason other than his own contrariness. And I think we've all been around contrary people. If you've been around me, you've been around one, huh? Okay, that's good. Don't get angry when others treat you like Nabal treated David, because God is watching over us. Matthew 5:11, "Blessed are ye when man shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Nabal's attitude, it was rude, it was coarse. God says we need to be kind to others, and we will often deal with difficult people. Now, we cannot, in the end, we can't control how people treat us, but we can control how we react to it. And that's the bottom line. People's going to offend us. We can't help that. It is going to happen. The only control we have over it is how we react to it. And we need to react scripturally. People's attitude, he was just being rude and coarse. His actions were condescending. They were scornful. They were contentious. He had a mean spirit. He proceeded to act enthusiastically. Verse 7 and 8. Now I heard that thou hast shears. Now thy shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was aught missing unto them. All the while they were in Carmel. Ask a young man, and they will show thee. Wherefore, let the young man find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray you, whatever comes to thine hand unto thy servants and to thy son David. One of the young men went and told Abigail what Nabal had done. Then in verse 15, but the man that were good to us, she said, they tell her, we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us by night and by day. David's man protected us. Nothing could be stolen. There was no evil done to us. They protected us. Abel has treated David the way he has. Proverbs 3:27, withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in thy power of thine hand to do it. You know, withhold not good. You know, I'll admit, sometimes I don't, I'm not as generous as I could be. I'm not as generous as I should be. I don't do all the things that I really need to be doing. But Nabal's contempt for David, who is David? You know, without a doubt, he had heard the women singing the song, Saul's killed his what, hundreds, David's killed his thousands or tens thousands, whichever it was. Without a doubt, he had heard that song that the women were singing. Without a doubt, he had heard about David killing the giant. But yet, he is belittling David. And David, initially, like all the rest of us, he is trying to figure out how he can get revenge. To return good for good is human. Evil for evil is brutal. Evil for good is diabolic, and good for evil is divine. A man by the name of Royard, he said that one. Abigail, she went to plead with David to try to get him not to kill the family. At this stage, we see a wise wife speaking up and interceding for her husband. She responded to the news that she was given. You know, our wives, just like Abigail when she went, she accepted the responsibility for Nabal being so curt and rude to David. You know, at Christmas time, my wife does so many things. And when she does some of the things for the kids, they come and, thank you, Dad. You know, she doesn't say, hey, your dad's not the one that did that. I'm the one that come up with that idea. You know, she lets me receive the credit for it. And, you know, us guys, it's good when we have a good woman standing behind us. She's corrected me in a lot of times. And one is, I told you, she told me, I said, honey, we can't afford to go to the States. She said, 40 years in Africa and God didn't let us down. You think he'll let us down now? You know, sometimes we just need someone to speak to us that way, to help us to understand, to get our eyes on the right track. Who is David? Who is this son of Jesse? He, without a doubt, Saul has slain his thousands, David his 10,000s. That's 1 Samuel 18, verse 7. Who does this David think he is that I should come up and feed him and take care of him and his army? Nothing but disrespect. Nothing but being cruel, rude. But Abigail speaks on his behalf. She was responsive. She wanted to correct what had gone wrong. The first thing I mentioned earlier, she hurried out to do it. She didn't just nonchalantly take off. She knew that she had to do this quickly. She hasted. There was a sense of urgency to what she was doing. We need to move quickly to correct wrongs. When we offend someone, we need to move quickly to correct them. And, you know, the other day, I mentioned this last Sunday. A good wife can help us in so many ways. You know, Janice was a missionary. And a statement I made two Sundays ago, and she told me, I went to her and I apologized. And she told me, don't worry about it. But, you know, here's why I went back to that. Janice, she's not here, okay. Here's why I went back to that. My wife is the one that brought it to my attention. That she said to me, she said, you know, some people, she said, I don't think Janice would have been offended, but some people could have been. You know, I get in a hurry sometimes, and I get to speaking faster than my brain can travel, and I say things that I really, after it's over, I wish I wouldn't have said, and I've probably offended other people of you doing the same thing. And, you know, I'm just like Nabal sometimes, and I don't really stop and think. I just get in a hurry. I want to do things myself. I don't want to ask someone to come and help me. As I mentioned to you, I sure appreciate the pastor. You know, the way he's asked me, Bob, can I help you? I appreciate that because I don't want to ask someone to help me. And yet, because I do that and I can get in a hurry, I need to respond in a hurry to make it right. Now, I know I didn't need to say that for Janice's sake. And she would say, Bob, keep your mouth shut. You've said enough. But I just wanted to say, you know, a good wife can stand behind us and help us with that. Because if my wife would not have brought that to my attention, it could have completely got past me without me even thinking about it. So, you know, we need to listen to good counsel. And we have good counsel sometimes, but sometimes we just don't recognize it. You know, I guess that's my fault. I get in so much of a hurry, my wife keeps telling me, honey, slow down and smell the roses. Well, maybe I don't like roses, honey. Maybe I want to smell tulips or something. But, you know, I will say I do. I get in a hurry of doing everything I do. Slow down. You know, to tell you the truth, though, sometimes I don't feel like I'm in a hurry. I feel like I'm doing a thing at the rate other people do. And my wife keeps telling me, slow down. I think some of you know what I'm saying. Anyhow, maybe there's one or two here that's like me in that. Okay. Abigail clearly was respectful. She fell on her. I think what happened, you know, it almost looks like it's a repeat going through there. She fell down, and I think when she arrived, she fell off the donkey onto her knees. I think she got up and she went over and she fell before David. And then when she got a little bit closer, she fell prostrate at his feet. I believe if you put it all in the right order, you'll see it. And it's not just a repeat of what they're saying. She was showing humility. She was trying to let David know she respected him. Now, the way she treated David, we need to treat our God, our King, the same way. She ran. She was excited. She wanted to get there. And then she falls down. She gets up, moves, falls again. Then she falls prostrate at his feet. That's what we need to do for our God. You know, he's such a marvelous God. He loves us so much. He takes care of us. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. God loves to see an humble spirit in us. He loves to see us when we are respectful to him. You know, respect. I guess the angriest I've ever got, there's two times. Once was on a miniature golf thing. My wife was expecting our first son, Doug, who was here a little bit ago. And we were out with another couple. And we were going slow. And some teenagers behind us, they were being smart alecks, and one of them hit that ball, and it come pretty close to my wife as it was flying through the air, and it upset me a little bit, and I kind of lost my cool. And, you know, he'd have had no respect for this old couple. We wasn't that old back then, though. But, you know, I got upset over that, and I let him know I got upset. And I'm not saying I was right. I'm saying, you know, that was a human side of me. It was coming out. And then one time an Air Force captain. He upset me so much, I had a half a cup of coffee and it was sloshing out of the coffee cup because I was that angry with him. And I told him, I said, you stay here until I go and cool myself down because I'm upset with you. I'll be back in a minute and I want to talk to you. Don't you leave till I get back. I was upset with him. Now, I didn't leave a good example with him there. That was the human side of me. I could have handled it a whole lot better. But, you know, maybe the rest of you are not human like me sometimes, okay? Whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. God's promise, he will reward us for our behavior. She would only have to cry mercy if she humbled herself. You know, Abigail fell willingly before the man that she knew would be her earthly king. She was reasonable. Abigail knew God was just. He would never plan to slay the innocent. Abigail reasoned with David. You know, the story's told of Napoleon Bonaparte. A woman had a son under his command. And the son committed an offense that was punishable by death. And he was sentenced to die. That mom went to Napoleon Bonaparte and she said to him, I'm pleading for mercy for my son. I know he made a mistake, but I'm pleading with you for mercy for him. And Napoleon Bonaparte said, for what he'd done, he does not deserve mercy. And she said, yes, sir, I understand that. If he deserved mercy, I wouldn't be asking you for it. He doesn't deserve it, but I'm asking you for it. And she said, okay. Napoleon Bonaparte said, I will let your son go. You know, God is that way. He has mercy for us. You know one thing? All these things, I've told you some of the mistakes I've made. But you know something? I'm still on my way to heaven, even with those mistakes. Even though I got so angry, not a good example, sloshing coffee that was only half full in my cup. That guy hit that ball and almost hit my wife. I didn't show any mercy with that. But you know what? God showed me mercy. And I know where I'm going to go when this life is over. Because God had mercy for me because He loved me. And he showed mercy. David had already made up his mind that he was going to kill the family. He had protected the property of Nabal. And he had allowed his man and had even protected him from other armies coming in. He had done everything he could. Matthew 5:44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Nabal's behavior toward him hadn't been good. But David was restrained by Abigail's advice. And he did what was right. David was a very passionate man. When he was happy, he was overjoyed. When he was sad, he suffered. And when he was angry, he was furious. And you can see that with his writings. All those examples, you can see them in the Scripture. He was a very passionate man. But God restrained David from doing wrong until Abigail could get there. And then when Abigail come, you know, the thing about Abigail, she didn't just come to say, hey, David, forgive my husband. I know I'm responsible. I'm accepting the blame. Forget. She even brought something with her. And, you know, sometimes what she brought speaks louder. She brought the food that David needed for his man. And how many donkeys did she bring covered with food? And how much was it that each one of them had? You know, she came with the answer to his problems. When she said to David, forgive my husband. She had the solution to the problem. And that's the way with us. When we go to someone with advice, you know, sometimes I get tired of advice. I guess I make enough mistakes that I get a lot of it, huh? You know, whatever. Sometimes I don't want to listen to it. But if you come with a solution for me along with the advice, you help me to understand better. And you give me more reason to know what I'm doing. David's credit, he listened. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Thank you, Lord. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. That's James 1:19-20. And Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. David wanted to destroy the household of Nabal. But he didn't. He was restrained. His patience was rewarded. Verse 18. Abigail made haste. She brought with her, when she came to talk to David, she brought 200 loaves, 2 bottles of wine, 5 sheep ready dressed, 5 measures of parched corn, 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs. There was a loaf and a half. There was a loaf of bread and half a cake of figs for every man. Fresh meat was brought for everyone, as well as raisins and corn. David and his man had their abundance. They didn't just have their needs taken care of. She came with an abundance for them. We jump ahead of God and upon His passions without using our own patience. And because of this, a lot of times we miss out on the blessings of God. Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Intercessors. Moses pleaded for the children of Israel. Abraham pleaded for Lot. Paul pled for the brethren. Are we interceding for someone today? Galatians 6:9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. This is a promise both to intercessors and to the others. You know, William Arthur Ward said, before you speak, listen. Before you write, think. Before you spend, earn. Before you invest, investigate. Before you criticize, wait. Before you pray, forgive. Before you quit, try. Before you retire, save. And before you die, give. Just one little word there. We need to listen. We need to think. We need to investigate. We need to wait. We need to forgive. You know, there's one. We need to try. You know, that's a problem. We need to try. Sometimes we try and we can get upset over that. You know, there was a missionary in Kenya. Didn't even know how to change his oil. So I get out there and I'm showing him how to change his oil. And someone comes up to talk to him. And he walked off and left me to change his oil. And didn't even stay around to learn how to do it. And I'll be honest with you. Kind of ticked me off a little bit. Here he has, teach me how to change my oil. And then I go to teach him and he walks off and leaves me to change it myself. Instead of, I think he was using me at that. And, but you know, we've all run into that. But at the same time, the Lord will take care of it. You know, He more than takes care of everything that happens to us like that. All of the blessings. As I've told you one time, I spent $500 to go to church And before 2 weeks were up, I'd received $3,000 back from other places. God will never let us down. He always gives us back more than it cost us. When we give, He'll give us back more than what we spend. He's a wonderful, marvelous God. And all these bad things, I'm pointing back to myself. I am. I do. I have a temper. I get angry. I get upset. I don't forgive. I don't. Honey, thanks for trying to work with me. I'd be much better if I'd listen to you more than I do. Father, we thank you for the blessings, the opportunity to serve you. Pray that you would bless as we prepare for the morning worship service. Help us this day to honor you and glorify you and give you the praise you deserve for all you've done for us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You have 13 minutes.